Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's Tony's birthday today. I wonder what he wants.
I'm Frank Isola. Apparently the day off.
Oops.
Nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I sent him a sleeve of golf balls. That's it.
That's what I was
thinking. He's got everything. He's got enough. He's got too much. He doesn't need anything.
Probably on a golf course somewhere,
right?
He needs
the man who has everything.
Right?
A day off. Come on now.
And a big
birthday
cake.
He and Lawrence Taylor play more golf than anybody in the United States. Welcome to PTI with Tony again. Not answering the bell. I am pleased to welcome back our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
Live studio audience today.
That's robust.
Gotta be on my best behavior.
Let's start today with a curious quote from Victor Wembanyama. After the number one overall pick wrapped up his summer league stint on Monday with a 27.12 rebound performance, he described the play in Las Vegas as less physical than the French league in which he played three seasons. He added, quote, I get fouled a lot, but not as much. I like this better. Close quote. Frank, you think this comment's going to come back to haunt Wimby?
I think he's smart. He didn't say this after he went 2-for-13 in his first game. He waited until he had 27 points and 12 rebounds. And I think him saying that sometimes it gets a little lost in translation. I don't think he's saying that the NBA is soft. And let's remember, he's only playing two summer league games against a lot of guys that aren't going to be in the NBA next year.
Mostly.
But, you know, if you look at Europe, there's no defensive 3 seconds. The three-point line is a little bit closer. So the spacing that you have in the NBA, there's just more of it. And I think for a player like him who plays on the perimeter, I think that's one thing that he's picked up on. Let's remember, too, Lucas said the same thing. He averaged 34 points. Giannis comes from Europe. He's been a two-time MVP. Nikola Jokic has come from Europe. He's a two-time MVP and a finals MVP. So I don't think Wembanyama was calling anybody soft. I think he was more or less just talking about the spacing on the court.
Frank, I think that's a nice take. And you're hitting all the subtleties that need to be addressed there. But let me go back to a couple of big picture things. He's playing essentially in those two games about maybe max five guys who are going to be on NBA rosters come November. So he doesn't know what it's like to play in the NBA yet because he hadn't played in it. He played in Summer League. And as you know, there's some 250 and 260-pound dudes. here's what I saw. And I gave Wembanyama an A for Summer League, not because the level of play specifically was an A in both games, because he had a sort of a quote-unquote bad game in game one and bounced back the way he did in game two. I thought that was more important than just smooth sailing through the first two games. But, Frank, I noticed there were 6'2" and 3" guys who went right through Wembanyama, went right through him. There is no center of gravity. Now, if 6'2" guys who are 20 years old can find that out, you know LeBron at 260 with a well-placed elbow can find that out. So, you know, it's going to come back to haunt him. Look, I'm as excited about this kid and watching him and seeing what happens as anybody. And that means the development. But, man, Frank, when I saw him, he's skinnier than I thought he would be.
I know.
You know what I mean? He's got to get bigger and stronger, and he's going to take some lumps in the NBA season. But that's okay.
Yeah.
But I don't believe the French league is going to be more physical. I love your observation about the guys who have played in Europe and come over here and done well, and I think Wembanyama will too. Physical. Let's see what happens between November and Christmas.
Well, Kevin Durant, he was a beanstalk as well. Same thing with Chris Kristaps-Porzingis.
Hey, he looked like Mr. Universe compared to
Chet Holmgren. I did have an NBA scout tell me today that he thinks that Wembanyama to say something like that is delusional. And to your point, it's one thing to be standing in the paint when LeBron James or Giannis is coming a full head of steam right at you. He'll learn how physical the NBA could be if he stands in there and wants to take a charge.
He'll
find out pretty quickly. All right, let's move to LeBron's announcement at the ESPYs last night that he is not retiring. I repeat, not retiring. He had floated retirement at the end of the season, but while accepting the award for best record-breaking performance last night, LeBron said, quote, the day I can't give everything on the floor is the day I'll be done. Lucky for you guys, that day is not today. Mike, lucky for you, I'm here today. Do you like how the upcoming season is shaping up for LeBron and the Lakers?
Okay, in honor of Tony, I'm going to go to the glasses and announce it like it's an event. Yes. The Lakers won free agency, Frank. They won it. The Suns did well. Some other teams did. The Suns did great, maybe. But the Lakers won it. okay? Because not only did they retain the guys they needed to, Hachimura, Reeves, and Russell, they're all back. They got these guys on contracts that seemed to be about, I don't know, 60 to 70% of what people were projecting, maybe 50%. I mean, they really did a great job with that. But also to add, all right, Taurean Prince, Jackson Hayes, and most importantly, Gabe Vincent,
yes,
who in that backcourt with LeBron seems, at least on paper, like a wonderful fit to be a tag team partner of LeBron James. And we know what we just saw, him coming off of the finals in Miami, the whole playoffs. Wow. And by the way, I mean, Vanderbilt, who's been there and who's there now, staying there, they're 10 deep. They're 10 deep with people you want to see play. It's still going to depend on LeBron and Anthony Davis. But yes, how can you not love the way it's shaping up? And I don't like Denver losing everybody. I really do like the Lakers and Phoenix right now, almost even with Denver from what we've seen.
If you think about how dysfunctional the Lakers were at the start of last season, with all this stuff going on, Russell Westbrook was there. They started out 2-10. And you think about where they are right now. And I saw Rob Pelinka in Las Vegas. I said, you've done the almost impossible. You've turned the big, bad, mighty Lakers into like the America's underdog story. You know, Rory Hachimura, that was a great trade. Austin Reeves is a player they developed. And a lot of people thought once they went into free agency, they would get crazy contracts. Austin Reeves, to his credit, got $54 million. A lot of people thought he was going to get $100 million. But it still goes back to LeBron, because on December 30th, he's going to be 39 years old. Here are the games played the last 3 years, Mike. 45, 56, 55. LeBron James is not going to play more than 60 games. So the question is going to be, how will they do in that 20 to 25 games that LeBron James doesn't play? Other guys have, I mean, Anthony Davis needs
better
to do
equipped.
A little bit more. That's going to be a big issue, right?
Better equipped. And Frank, let me say this. The reason that the LeBron James games played is important is the West is too good to finish sixth or seventh.
Exactly.
You can't go through a three, a two, and a one. I know the Lakers looked like they were going to pull it off, and they ran out of steam completely against Denver, which a lot of teams, everybody did. But, you know, they got to play all season. There's none of this, oh, we'll just get into the playoffs and turn it on. No, that's not going to work. Nope. Some of these guys are young. We don't depend on them for that. But they're deep. They're talented. They're complimentary. Rob Pelinka, take a bow.
Yeah, done a good job.
The United States men's soccer team is out of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Jesus Ferreira tied Panama at one in extra time, but Panama won in the shootout, advances to meet Mexico in the final. The U.S. was fielding sort of kind of a B team, but Frank, it's the first time the U.S. has lost a Gold Cup match at home since 2019. So how do you see the current state of U.S. men's soccer?
Yeah, I wish they were playing on Sunday. I think I told you it was going to be USA Jamaica on Sunday. We ended up being wrong on both counts. But I actually think we're in a pretty good position, because if you look at, first of all, coming out of the World Cup and take away the whole coaching controversy with Greg Berhalter, we got out of the group. We lost to a very good team in the Netherlands. So we did well there. We should be in Copa America next summer. That's going to be the proving ground, because that's when you're talking about some of the top teams in South America, like Argentina will be here, because we're hosting also Brazil, Uruguay. So that would be a big test. But our top players in Christian Pulisic, the move is official. He's going to be on AC Milan next year in Italy. Tim Weah is playing in Italy. We know about Gio Reyna playing in Germany. Tyler Adams. Our top players are playing at some of the best clubs in the world and playing, obviously, in the best leagues in the world. We just got to keep that group together. And next summer will be big, because Greg Berhalter, who's now returning after B.J. Callahan did a pretty good job on an interim basis, Mike, he has the job through the World Cup. But if we don't perform well next summer, there's no guarantee that Greg Berhalter will be the coach. Because remember, we've already qualified for the World Cup, so we don't have to worry about qualifying.
Well, but Frank, one of the things, or a couple of the storylines that I think are worth, you know, worrying about, obsessing over, is how is Pulisic going to play more in Italy than he did in the past season plus? And it addresses that group of 10 or 12 players, the nucleus. You know, we've got to make sure those guys are really playing at a top level in Europe. And you mentioned Gio Reyna. I almost said Claudio Reyna.
Yeah.
Once again, revealing not just Kornheiser's age, but mine. What's going to happen with this whole Gio Reyna thing
in
Baltimore? Okay, so we're talking about Pulisic and Reyna. We're talking about two critical members of the team. You know, how ready are they going to be going into this competition? Because if they're not at an A level and able to offer that consistently, it's hard to see us being what everybody thinks. And I realize, Frank, everybody's saying this could be our most talented team ever. But, hey, how often do you and I come in here as we just finished the NBA story and talk about talent not being enough?
You're
talent
right.
alone cannot be enough. So there's reason to be optimistic, but reasons to say, hey, pump the brakes.
Yeah.
Let's check out some of these stories.
And Mike, so Berhalter will take the first game that he'll coach. I think it's September 9th, a friendly against Uzbekistan. I think Gio Reyna will likely play, so the communication between the two of them. But Berhalter had the backing of the players, including Pulisic. By the way, you'll like this one about Christian Pulisic, a Hershey, Pennsylvania guy. He's now playing for Kobe Bryant's childhood team, AC Milan. So you got the two Pennsylvania guys have a connection between AC Milan. It's pretty cool.
Hershey, Pennsylvania. I seem like I just drove past.
You were there.
Hershey, Pennsylvania. Let's take a break. But coming up, what's the word for Chet Holmgren's summer league performance?
Speaking of skinny guys, what does Kristaps Porzingis' extension do for the Celtics?
He looks like a young Arnold Schwarzenegger compared to Wembanyama,
that's
too.
That's a fair point. Give it time. He's got to,
you know,
got to go to In-N-Out Burger. Have a shake, have a hamburger.
He's probably never.
Pardon the interruption is brought to you by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona, part of Happy Hour.
Time to do a little wordsmithing with Philly and Frank. What's first?
Chet Holmgren's summer league performance has been blank.
I love what Holmgren is doing, Frank. It's been what I'm going to call fortifying. Because Oklahoma City, if they had a hole, it was in the middle.
Yep.
They don't have anybody there. They got all these other dudes. They got SGA and Josh Giddey and two guys named Jalen Williams who just seem to be young and terrific. They got Lu Dort. But Holmgren, look, I got a bet with my son already that Oklahoma City is going to finish ahead of Dallas and his boy Kyrie. And Chet Holmgren is going to help them get there. He fortifies that lineup. He can go out there if he averages 8 points a game, 8 or 9 rebounds, which he will get. And 2 block shots, he'll be in the vicinity of that. They're going to be a beast, Frank.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City, second half of the season, watch out. He fortifying that lineup.
I'm going to say it's reaffirming because if you remember, it was only a year ago when all we heard about was Chet Holmgren, much like Victor Wembanyama. Who's this tall guy with all this talent? Can he survive in the league? Remember the year that he had at Gonzaga? We all thought he was going to be the number overall pick, then out of nowhere, the Orlando Magic came in, and they ended up selecting Paolo Banchero. But then he got hurt in the Summer League game, and he's completely falling off the map. But he's still an incredibly talented player. Last night in the Summer League, 25 points, 9 rebounds, 5 block shots. And remember, even though I think he shouldn't be considered a rookie because it's technically his second year,
he's going to be
the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. And you're 100% right. That's an intriguing team, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has a lot to do with it. I get it. They have a million picks over the – I think it's 35 draft picks – over the next 7 years. It's ridiculous.
And by the way, we should mention on Holmgren, he, in that red shirt year, seems to have benefited.
That's
right. I mean, I hear all kinds of crazy estimates. Maybe it's not 25 pounds of muscle, but it looks like it.
Definitely better.
I'm going to mention this. Maybe Wembanyama, without an injury, should be red shirted.
Gap year? That's what all the kids do now.
Yeah.
Everybody does that.
How about that? All right, what's next?
Now that Kristaps Porzingis has signed a two-year extension, the Celtics should be blank.
Frank, I'm the only person who thinks what I think about this, about the Porzingis. And I like Porzingis as a player. But I don't like what the Celtics did. Now, Brad Stevens and his staff know what the hell they're doing. But we get paid to second guess, so here I go. The Celtics should be reprimanded because they got rid of the guy, sent him to Memphis, in Marcus Smart, who yes, people used heart and soul. It's not an exaggeration. And he's also the brains. He's the engine of that team. And I'm not saying Marcus Smart is a Hall of Famer necessarily, but, you know, he does remind me of a guy who was a Hall of Famer who played that position, Dennis Johnson. His statistical contributions are completely secondary to what he does with that team on the bench, in the locker room, on off days, shoot around, and in games. And Porzingis, okay, I get it, but losing Marcus Smart, reprimanded.
Yeah, Marcus Smart, his biggest highlight might have been that miss that he had in Game 6, the one that Derek White followed up. I'm going to say anxious for this reason, because Kristaps Porzingis this year played 65 games. He was in a contract year, averaged a career-high 23 points, but he has had injury issues.
Yeah,
can he stay healthy? But the reason they got him is because of the health of Al Horford and also Robert Williams. I'll say this about Marcus Smart. I do think there'll come a point next year where everyone will say, remember how tough we used to be when we had Marcus Smart on the team? He did a little bit of everything. But think about the size that Kristaps Porzingis gives you. And if you have a starting lineup of Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Porzingis, Jason Tatum, then with either Robert Williams
Real or basketball. Al Horford,
that's a huge team.
And Brogdon coming off the bench, and he can start when he needs to when somebody's injured, as it invariably will happen. Frank, I'm the only one thinking this. I just think that sometimes you subtract a guy like Marcus Smart. Nobody's going to remember this now. Ask the Seattle Supersonics and the Phoenix Suns how things went when they got rid of Dennis Johnson.
Well,
and again, I'm putting Marcus Smart in some company that maybe is a stretch, because what did Larry Bird say about Dennis Johnson, who people don't even know anymore? Said he was the greatest teammate he ever had. I just think there's some of that. There's a little of that in Dennis Johnson.
I also think the Celtics believe in order for the team to grow a little bit, that Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, not only taking on a leadership role, but have to have the ball in their hands a little bit more.
Yeah.
Now, the way Jaylen Brown controlled the ball in Game 7 against Miami, I'd be a little bit worried. But they need to take on a bigger role offensively, believe it or not.
2 years in a row, way too many turnovers. I don't know about that. That is the final word. We're going to take one last break, but still to come. The women's final is set at Wimbledon.
And Rory McIlroy takes a big shot at the LIV Tour. What else is there? He always does that.
I'm tired of the whole PGA versus LIV. I'm tired of it. Play golf. Shut up.
Story on it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is brought to you by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 116th birthday to Anthony Irwin Kornheiser, my longtime co-host on this program and dear, dear friend. Best known for insulting emailers, claiming victory in unscored toss-ups, and Uranus jokes. What a legacy. Kornheiser started out as a writer of substance and a man with an impressive hairline, even had an afro at one point. That, none of it stood the test of time. He and I started PTI in 2001, when his age was still in the double digits. For the last 3+ years, Kornheiser has been too scared to leave his home for the studio, but has no problem leaving it to play golf with an endless parade of celebrity Washingtonians or to get on G5. In short, he somehow managed to stay employed and be retired at the same time.
Happy birthday, Tony. I feel kind of guilty. It's always his day, and I'm the one that gets a gift. I make money because I get to fill in for him all the time.
Don't feel bad.
We both
I'm going to make some more fun of him.
You
I'll
especially
call him later. Happy 116th. Happy anniversary, Pedro Martinez. On this day 24 years ago, you stole the show at the All-Star Game in Fenway by striking out Barry Larkin, Larry Walker, and Sammy Sosa in the first. Mark McGwire and Jeff Bagwell in the second. That's three Hall of Famers and two who should be. Pedro would go on to win that game's MVP award, and later that season, his second of three career Cy Youngs. In that 1999 season, Pedro led the American League with 23 wins, 313 strikeouts, and a 2.07 ERA, Frank. That's insane and unapproachable now.
I love Pedro, but that was a great performance. He actually got upstaged by another Red Sox. Remember, that was when Ted Williams came out on the golf cart,
yes,
and all the
yes.
All-Stars surrounded. Remember that great
yes.
moment? Pretty cool All-Star.
You know, throwing Don Zimmer to the ground, that's still a moment. Yep. Love Pedro. He's so great on TV, too. Happy trails to the Bedlam rivalry between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. With Oklahoma football leaving for the SEC after this season, Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy says the Sooners are taking the rivalry with them. Said Gundy, quote, "I like rivalries. I like the things in college football that have been around forever. But that's not going to matter anymore. All those things are history. Nobody likes it. But Bedlam's out the window." Close quote. You can say it was never in the window. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State have played 117 times, with Oklahoma leading the series, get this, Frank, 91-19 with seven ties. But things have been a little more competitive since the turn of the millennium. 91-17. Are you kidding me?
A little more competitive. They're 5-18 in the last 23 meetings.
Wow.
By the way, those of us on this side of the world, don't we always look at Oklahoma's main rival as Nebraska?
Well, yeah, and that's gone.
Really Oklahoma
that
State.
Hasn't happened. You know, that hasn't been a real rivalry for years either. No errors today. Let's jump to the big finish. Ons Jabeur and Marketa Vondrousova will meet in the Wimbledon women's finals.
Jabeur is a great grass court player. She dropped the first set to Sabalenka, came back and played really well. Rory McIlroy said, quote, "If LIV Golf was the last place on earth to play golf, I would retire." Your thoughts?
More importantly, he shot 64 this year, the first round lead of the Scottish Open. British Open's next week. And that's just exaggeration. That's fine. We endorse that on this show. The Jets signed defensive tackle Quinnen Williams to a four-year deal worth $66 million guaranteed. Is that significant?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is the headliner. But if the Jets are really going to win, it's going to be about that defense. Big year for the Jets. They're on hard knocks, if you haven't heard, Mike. Suns owner Matt Ishbia told Brian Windhorst, "We're going to win at everything we do." Confidence or cockiness?
Both. I've talked to Matt. He's got all of that. He means it. And he looked at it, what he's doing with the roster. He's trying to back it up. Last one. AI, Allen Iverson, will present Dwayne Wade at his Hall of Fame induction. You like that?
Why don't you have a Chicago Hall of Famer? Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, Michael Wilbon. Just an idea. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow. And now, D-Wade. Your sports show.